Have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn to the book of Genesis and the 12th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study. Good to see each of you here tonight with your Bibles ready to study. Appreciate those who've led our prayer, Brother Carroll. Appreciated his prayer. Appreciate the songs led by Brother Travis. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song of invitation. And if you have any spiritual need, whether to be baptized into Christ or restored or ask for the prayers of this church family, we'd be glad to assist you in any way that we can to make your life right with God. In the book of Genesis and the 12th chapter, if you will, look at verse 7 and 8. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. When you read in the book of Genesis and the 12th chapter, you'll find that there are two men on a journey. One man is identified as Abram, later to be known as Abraham the father. And then you recognize the other man is identified as Lot, which is his nephew. So when you read in your Bible, in the book of Genesis and the 12th chapter, and you read about these two men, you'll find there's a great difference. Someone might say, well, what is that difference? And I believe you can find it in this. Abraham was a man who was an altar builder. You'll find that wherever that man sojourned, wherever that man went, he would build an altar. And at the same time, you'll find there's no record of Lot ever building an altar. I want us to stop for just a few moments and observe four altars of Abraham. And what I want us to do is recognize that an altar was that which an individual would put their animal sacrifices, the animals that they would sacrifice to God according to God's command under that age and dispensation. And you find this man building altars to make his sacrifice to God, to be pleasing to God. The first thing I want you to note in the book of Genesis and the 12th chapter, in verse 4, is the altar of Moriah. And notice, while he's here, you'll find the altar of pardon. Notice, as far as we know, this was the first altar this man Abraham ever built. And note that while he's in that land, that man builds this altar, and this man is going to worship God. Now recognize that as far as we know, that's the first altar he built. I know one thing, his father was an individual who did not worship the God of heaven, but worshiped idols. So Abraham, when he built this altar, did so not according to what his father taught him, but according to the will of God. If you have your Bible for just a moment, look in the book of Joshua and the 24th chapter. And when you come to the book of Joshua and the 24th chapter, look at verse 2. And notice that Abraham's father, Terah, was one who was an idolater. It says in verse 2, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the fathers of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods.'" Notice that his father was an idolater. He served the false gods. He served not the true and living God. And so when I read my Bible, I find that Abraham did not follow his father into the sin of idolatry. That man did not practice that sin. And I read where that man left all to follow God. You'll remember that when he left going to a land where he did not know. Someone may say, "Abram, where are you going?" "I don't know." "Why are you going then?" "Because God directed me." Here was a man that was going to follow the command and precepts of God and follow his divine direction. And I recognize that that man went and followed the Heavenly Father. He didn't condemn his father by obeying God. He just put his faith to practice. That man built an altar out of obedience. And notice when he did that, when he made a change. In Genesis chapter 12, they will find that God's going to make a covenant in the first few verses with him. So here was a man that was going to make a covenant and enter into a covenant with God. And here is a man that built an altar, and that could be called the altar of pardon there in Morah. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to think about a second altar. In your Bible, look if you will in verse 8. And when you look in verse 8, notice that he builds an altar at Bethel. That first altar, notice after he built, it said the Lord had appeared to him. He built that altar, and that was the altar of pardon. But in verse 8, look at the altar at Bethel, and that could be called the altar of prayer. Because in verse 8, when he traveled to Bethel, notice that when he went there, the Bible says he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. He cried out to the Heavenly Father. Here is Abram praying to God. Here he is calling out to God. While it's true he could have called out at God at any place, at any time, here he does so at the altar in which he built. If you take your Bible later in the book of Genesis in the 12th chapter, you'll find that because of a famine, Abraham and his wife Sarah go into Egypt. And when they're in Egypt, Abram tells Sarah, "Now if the Pharaoh or anyone asks you who you are, tell them you're my sister, lest they put me to death, lest they harm me in some way." And you remember that they lied to Pharaoh, and when Pharaoh found it out, he said, "Why did you lie?" And he cast them out. But if you look in your Bible in chapter 13, notice after Abraham and Sarah left in verse 1, notice what it says. They went south, and Lot went with them, and Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. And it says that they went on their journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He goes back to that altar. Here is a man who is a man of prayer. Here is a man who pours his heart out to God. A man who wants to talk to the God of heaven. But then if you take your Bible, if you will, in the book of Genesis and the 13th chapter, notice a third altar that man built. We see the altar of pardon. We see the altar of prayer. But notice a third time, that man took some stones, cobbled them together, and then took the sacrifice and put it up on there that would be pleasing to God. And there that man does something again. In Genesis 13, notice, if you will, verse 8. In verse 8, you'll find that Abram and his nephew Lot had a falling out because of their herdsmen. And then Abram said, "Let there be no strife between you and me. We're brethren. You pick a way that you want to go." And remember the Bible says Lot lifted his eyes, and Lot saw that Sodom, the plain of Sodom, was well watered. And he looked at it, and there he decided to go that way. And then Abram went the other way. But if you take your Bible, notice in verse 18, here is Abram going to Canaan. You find that man going to Mamre. And when he's in Mamre, notice it says, "Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." Have you ever thought that's the third time he built an altar? Now, Abram, what are you going to do at this altar? I want to tell you what this altar would represent: the altar of prayer. Have you noticed that Lot looked towards Sodom? He saw that it was well watered. He saw that it had all the things his heart desired. And that man went that way. And here is Abram going towards Mamre. And notice while that man's going, he builds an altar. And this time he's going to praise God. He doesn't say he asked God for anything. But here is a man who recognized that God had blessed him. Here is a man who was content with what God had given him. The Scriptures already said he was very rich. And this man recognized that the God he served was a God that had provided for him. And this man took time to praise his God. Can you imagine him building that altar? Can you imagine as he constructs it? Then when he takes the animal and he kills the animal and he begins to burn it, he's doing so as a sacrifice to God. And there he praises God. But I want to tell you about a fourth altar. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look in the book of Genesis and the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Genesis and the 22nd chapter, You'll find in Genesis 22 where he's told to build this fourth altar, and this is the altar of Moriah, the altar of provision. You remember that at this time God has told Abram to take his son, his only begotten son, Isaac, and take him to the top of Mount Moriah, and there he says, you sacrifice him. Can you imagine as they are climbing that hill, it says in verse 8, then verse 7, where Isaac said to Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Can you imagine the feeling in his heart? Can you imagine as they're going up that mountain? And you remember he said, you take your only son, Isaac. There you sacrifice him. And there Isaac is carrying the wood. And there they are going up the hill. And then he looks at him and he says, now, Father, where's the lamb? Now, you think about it. It had been a three-day journey in the mind of Isaac, or in the mind of Abraham. Isaac would have been going to be gone, going to be killed for 3 days. That was on his mind. And what does Abraham say to him in verse 8? He said, my son, God will provide. Oh, that's the altar of provision. He said, he will provide. And I want you to recognize in verse 9, they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Oh, I want you to stop and recognize that man was going to obey God. And I want you to recognize that he was going to take the life of his son. One, he was following the will of God at that time. And then God stayed his hand. And God did provide the altar. He provided the altar. But have you ever thought that there was Abraham climbing Mount Moriah? And it may seem like a strange command, but Hebrews 11 says that he was a man of faith because he obeyed God. He's called in James 2 and 23 the friend of God. Because what? He built the altar. Now I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson journey. I recognize tonight we're not offering up animal sacrifice. And I recognize tonight that when we leave here, when we go to our home, we've not built an altar to put animals upon to sacrifice to God. But I want you to understand one thing. If we're children of God, we do offer up sacrifice. Open your Bible to the Roman letter for just a moment and the 12th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 12th chapter, notice, if you will, what Paul says in verse 1. In verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice. Look at that. A living sacrifice. And notice what it are. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God has not asked anything unreasonable of us. But he says, you present your life. You're to present your body. You're to present your conduct as a living sacrifice to God. I thought about the altar of pardon. The altar of forgiveness. You know what that altar is for Christians? It's the cross of Christ. Because I want you to recognize that's where our sins is blotted out. And I want you to recognize tonight, you need to be there. I need to be there. And what we need to do is hear God's call to go to that. Open your Bible for just a moment to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, notice what he says, if you will, in verse 14. Notice we've all been called to come to Christ. We've all been called to the new birth. We've all been called to the blood to be immersed into Christ. We've been called, he said in verse 14, by the gospel. Look at verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people want to hear a small, still voice. Oh no, my friend, we're called through the Word. This is how we're called. We're called through the gospel that was preached in the very beginning of New Testament Christianity. That same message calls tonight. We need to go to the altar of pardon and forgiveness and have our sins blotted out. But that brings up another thing. We need to follow God's command. You know, some people won't obey God because of the religion of their forefathers, of their parents, or of their spouse. I've had people say, oh no, if I am baptized, that means I'll condemn my loved one. Oh no, my friend. You don't have that power. You don't have the power to condemn someone. Only the judge has that power. Your obedience has nothing to do with them. Their obedience has nothing to do with you. Every man must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, have you ever thought what Paul said in verse 10? In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he said, "For we must all," underscore that word "all." And Paul includes himself there. "We must all," what, Paul? "Stand or appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." You know, my friend, when you stand before God, you're not going to stand with your mother and your daddy. You're not going to stand with your spouse. You're not going to stand with your children. Notice, we're going to stand before God to give an account. I would I could get that in the minds of people. I would I could get some people that I love dearly, that they would see that their obedience does not mean that somebody they love is going to be condemned. All they're doing is following God's will, just like Abraham did. But then you think about after you receive the pardon. Have you received the pardon? The joy you have after you've been baptized into Christ? When we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the death and burial and resurrection of Christ? But I want to tell you the second altar we need to go to, the altar of prayer. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself when I think about how little I pray in contrast to how much I do other things. And when I think about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 when he said, "Pray without ceasing." When I think about what he said in James chapter 1 and verse 5, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. And I thought about how little I went before God. I think about what Peter said. Old brother Larry Williams and I were talking, and he talked about this passage in 1 Peter 5:7. What did he say? "Cast your cares upon the Lord." What's that? Give them to the Lord. Why? He cares for you. So many times, I worry when I need to be cast. And I want to tell you something else. I need to go before the throne of God not just with my cares and concerns, but I need to go with thanksgiving. When was the last time you just thanked God? So often we have our checklist of who we're praying for and what we're praying for. When was the last time we went to God and said, "God, thank you for everything you've given"? But I want to tell you a third. We need to come to the altar of praise and cry out and give God glory. Open your Bible to the 106th Psalm. When you come to the 106th Psalm, notice, if you will, verse 1, what the psalmist said. He said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Now, why? Why should I give thanks to the Lord? Well, first, every blessing I have is from Him. But here's another reason. Why? "For He is good. His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Blessed are those who keep justice and all who does righteousness at all times." Ever thought you can't utter all the greatness of God? You can't utter all the mighty acts He's done. There's things God has done we don't know about in our finite minds. He points that out to Job. When was the last time we prayed? Oh, a moment ago we sung, but I want to know, did we sing giving glory to God? But that brings up another thought, and the lesson will be yours. Have you thought about the altar of provision? Have you ever thought what God provided for you and me tonight? In your Bible, in the book of John, in the first chapter, you remember in verse 29 what John saw when he saw Jesus and what John said? In John chapter 1, in verse 29, look at what John said. He said, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, look.'" What are we looking at, John? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You know what God provided for you and for me? He provided the Lamb, just as He did for Abraham with his son, except for this time, God sent His Son as the Lamb. The one without sin who came to die for all of us who have sin. And this time, God didn't intervene with His own Son. God allowed Him to go to the cross, and He allowed Him to suffer and to die. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Malachi, and notice a statement the prophet made, and compare it with a statement made in Romans 8. In the book of Malachi, when the writer of God is talking about the people of that day, he says to them about their attitude. Notice what he said in Malachi chapter 3, and look at verse 16. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Look, he talks about a man who spares his son. But if you take your Bible, look in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, you'll find what he says about his own son in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, what did he do? He delivered him up for all. Look at that word, all. You, me. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's why in Philippians 4:17, Paul says, he supplies our every need. You know what I need? I need salvation from sin. Who is the one who provided that? God, by sending his son. And you know what I need to know tonight? I need to know the altar of pardon. I need to know the altar of prayer. I need to know the altar of praise. And God help me never forget the altar of provision that comes through His Son. Tonight, He's provided the lamb that your sins can be blotted out. What you have to do is come and receive His pardon by being baptized into Christ. We beg you, come. Together we stand and sing.